We're here at Menards Bag Sale, asking shoppers what they're putting in the bag to get 15% off.
Paint.
Batteries.
Tools.
Toilet paper.
Extension cords. Grocery items.
Hardware for my cabinets.
Snack items. Crackers and some canned good stuff.
Shop vac supplies.
Toothpaste, cereal, coffee, dog treats. I've got a lot of stuff to grab.
The list goes on, but the sale ends January 24th. Hurry in for Menards 15% off bag sale. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
Hello and welcome to, can you believe it? That's right, another episode of Let's Talk About, where this time we're going back a few thousand years, maybe more, who knows? But when I say we, I mean me, Elliot, and of course everyone's favourite co-host, Tyrannosaurus Seb.
Raw. Hi, it's me.
All right, Katy Perry.
Oh,
and so many more puns from that one sentence. But alas, that's not what we're here to talk about. Because we're here to talk about, if you couldn't guess by not only our little hints there, but perhaps from the title that you've clicked on, we are talking about a Disney movie called Dinosaur. Now, this is a movie which I think fell under the radar quite a lot.
Yeah.
In fact, what's intriguing to me is, I can't remember which way around it is. No, it is this way around. In the UK, and I don't know why, this is not seen as a Disney classic.
Okay.
Now, we've talked about these before, but for those who don't know, the classic series were basically films that were made by Disney by their Walt Disney Animation Studios. The big one that's done all the big hits, The Lion King. And there's over 60 of them now. The last one being... Was there one since Wish? Maybe there isn't. Who knows? Maybe there isn't. So anyway, they've had those, but this one, for every reason, even though it was in the same studio, I do believe, and it's regarded as a classic over there, is not one here. Same as like Winnie the Pooh, the latest one. We don't have that over here as a classic. It's available to like watch or whatnot. But yeah, over here we have other ones. Like we have, what's it called? The Wild. Which wasn't made by those studios. So, I don't know. To put it plainly, I don't know. But what I do know is this. I've seen this movie before. I loved this movie as a kid. I got it in Tenerife when I used to live there. So it used to be called Dinosaurio. on my DVD. And I watched it a ton. But I've not seen it in a long time. You know, well over 2 decades.
Yeah.
What about you, Seb? What's your history of this movie?
I think it's a similar story. I remember watching this. I don't know if it was at the cinema, if we had it on tape or something. But I do remember watching it because as a kid, I loved dinosaurs. I was really into it. I had a bunch of toy dinosaurs. I'd play as a dinosaur. I wanted to be a paleontologist, which is very cool. Obviously, that didn't happen. So I was really into this. Watching it, I was like, oh yeah, quite a few times in the film. And I was like, oh yeah, it's amazing the little things you still remember. But yeah, honestly, not seen it since I was a young child. So it's been a while.
Well, there you go. Well, we've both seen it recently. Did we both watch it last night?
Yeah, I guess we did.
Well, there we go. But not together.
No.
But in spirit, of course. But perhaps, because I think this one has flown under the radar for a lot, I feel like this is one of those ones where it's kind of like songs that me and you might hear because we're of a similar age. And we'd be like, oh yeah, what a tune. And then someone like 2 years older or 2 years younger wouldn't know.
Yeah.
I feel like this movie is kind of like that. So perhaps you could give us a little story as to what this story is all about.
Okay, so there's this guy called John Hammond, and he makes a... Dinosaur Park, and wait a minute, that's Jurassic Park. No, so this film, all the way from the year 2000, I should add, this is where Disney is experimenting with its CGI, I think. It won a few awards for it. And in fact, it was nominated for a Saturn Award for Best Fantasy Film. So this is set in a world of dinosaurs, and we have a herd of iguanodons. They've got a nest. And then this egg ends up stolen. It goes missing, and it's discovered by a bunch of people who raised this dinosaur. So it's giving, you know, a bit of Tarzan vibes, a few other different kind of stories and things. And we see this guy called Aladar as he grows up with his new family. And then they go on an adventure because of a meteor shower, which, again, I vaguely remembered, which was cool. And we meet some more dinosaurs as they go on this adventure. All the dinosaurs are CGI. In terms of the backgrounds, I don't know if I would have realised this at the time, but it's clearly real locations they filmed, and they've superimposed the dinosaurs on top of that. I don't know if you noticed that at all.
It wasn't on the top of my list.
No, that's fine. Well, it's only because I was looking at one of the shots. It's one they got, like, the nest of all the eggs. I was thinking, that dirt looks really good. Like, modern day good. A little too good. I was like, hang on. They've obviously filmed real ground, real trees. There's a bit where the, like, pterodactyl's flying. And it's like, oh, that's clearly a coast somewhere that they filmed. And then, oh, they've obviously then put the characters on top. Which is really cool. Obviously, at the time, as a kid, this all looked amazing. And to be fair, it still looks pretty decent. It's obviously a bit dated and that kind of stuff. But that...
It's very 2000s, isn't it?
Yeah. It's that kind of... What was another film we watched where the CGI was a little bit rough, so like the eyes were a little bit soulless?
Oh. Chicken Little.
Well, that would be one of them, yeah. I'm sure there's one we watched where it was, or maybe it was like Hoodwinked or something, I don't know. But yeah, but the CGI is not quite as good as obviously it is now, but it's good enough where the dinosaurs all look pretty cool. There's some really interesting texturing. There's some fur in this film, which I completely forgot was a thing at all. And it all looks pretty decent.
Yeah. Now you mention it, I do remember looking at that dirt thinking, that's some nice dirt. it took me a little while to click onto that. But yeah, no, okay, well, there you go. Now that makes sense.
Yeah.
I did a little bit of research because I don't like saying things like I don't know. So now I know things.
Oh.
So this isn't a classic in the UK because Disney chose that The Wild would take its place in the UK and Australia.
Oh, okay.
I think, again, so this one was made in Walt Disney Studios, but it also was teamed up with another studios. So I don't know if that's why it's a little bit thing. But apparently there's a lot of controversy around it, according to AI on Google.
Oh, great.
That some view it as part of Disney's canon, while others don't. Okay. So some consider it a classic, some don't. I mean, well, after you've seen this movie now, again, how would you view it? Do you view this as, you know, comparing it to all the other Disney movies you watched, does this feel like a Disney movie to you?
That's an interesting question, because I was just thinking about it now as you were talking about whether or not this counts as like a legitimate child of Walt Disney. And it's definitely different in lots of different ways. Obviously, just the whole setting, because all the films would have been like the 2D animated by this point, and we'll talk a bit about the story and characters later on. But I think this does have those marks of a Disney film. The thing of, like, you know, growing up in a found family and going on an adventure and, you know, trying to be inspiring, and this character doing the right thing and their antagonists and all this kind of thing. I think, yeah, it kind of counts. You know, does it have the same Disney charm as, you know... even like Tarzan, maybe not. But I think this does have a lot of the hallmarks, I think, of a Disney film. It has like quirky characters. The music is really good in this. It's like quite competent, like background music. It's not a musical or anything. But I remember thinking this score is actually quite good. It feels like a really good kind of nature documentary.
Yeah. I think for me, watching it again, I remember saying this out loud, is that I was surprised I loved this so much as a kid. Now, obviously, there's certain things that wouldn't have bothered me back then that affect me now, which obviously there's nothing I could have done about it, but I do think this was the worst time period when it come to the animation.
Yeah.
I think there were some cool bits, but it's kind of like, it's in between the thing of, it's not quite realistic enough to be good, but also not fake enough to be magical.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean. So that took some getting used to. I mean, I've got one note here just saying, dem special effects though. I think it was like one bit of like explosions in the background. And it was like, do you remember when you used to get like the apps on your phone and you'd like, you could point it somewhere, there'd be an explosion. It was like that.
Okay.
It was doing a meteor shower in the background. And it made me laugh a little bit. But yeah, I think it's got a good story. This is not in any way, shape or form a bad movie.
Mm.
But it definitely didn't feel Disney in the sense where it was just like a lot of death. It felt very Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
Very Jurassic
more
Park.
Than
I know obviously dinosaurs.
Just because it's got dinosaurs in it. I'm guessing you mean more than that.
Yeah, in the sense where they don't, obviously, like, Disney don't hold back when it comes to, like, you know, death scenes.
Mm.
You know, a lot of most powerful moments have come from death scenes. Where there was a lot of on-screen death.
Yeah.
And again, I know that's a part of nature. But we've talked recently how a big part of, like, Disney is, like, a lot of their movies are just the most, like, that wouldn't happen.
No.
You know, that doesn't make sense. How we talk about in Raya of the Last Dragons. Well, how come all those dragons came back? You know, that doesn't make sense. That's a flaw, but it's a Disney movie.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this just seemed very like you were watching a nature documentary. Like, I think like within the first, 10 minutes, we had straight away, we had like an on-screen death.
Yeah.
Where you literally, I mean, I wouldn't call this a spoiler. You literally see a dinosaur hunted and killed.
Yep.
Right from your eyes. You see a bunch of babies that are yet to hatch.
Yeah.
Completely annihilated. And then you get this meteor shower, which just destroys about 100 animals you've already witnessed.
Yeah.
This all happens within the first 10 minutes. And then from there on, it's still not afraid of death, which we'll talk a little bit more in the spoilers.
Mm.
But yeah, it's a very heavy film, I think. And I would, if I was watching this for the first time, I'd say this is not a kid's movie. I understand why you might think so, but you know, this is quite heavy. But yeah, I loved this as a kid, so I don't understand.
Yeah.
But it was good.
That's a weird paradox, isn't it? Because I was thinking this, it's like, there's a few death scenes where I thought, oh, that's quite impactful. And I'm thinking, oh, I feel like maybe we should have had a scene where they talk a bit more and then they die, or I don't know, you could write it a different way. So I thought it was an interesting choice. I think it sometimes worked, sometimes it wasn't that satisfying. Because I either, you know, when the bad guy's bad, you want them to either be like shown bad and they're punished, or you want them to turn good and then either they see the error of their ways, or you know, they kind of develop as a character. And we do see some arcs with some of the characters in this. There's one character who is very stubborn. And I think they're actually quite an interesting character, which I'd like to talk about a bit. But the way it kind of ends, I'm thinking, you know, it's that satisfying conclusion. Or is the message of this film, you know, there's stuff that just happens. Because that's kind of a big point of this film, isn't it? Is that there's this cycle of things that keeps happening. And there's this guy saying, this is just the way it is, you know. Similar to Mulan in some ways, you know, where it's like, this is just the way things are done. Why bother changing it? And these characters want to change things, and that's radical and it's crazy. I think another issue of this film is when I picture dinosaur, I just picture beige. All these beige dinosaurs with not great textures on a beige background. It's all desert usually. And it's like, yeah, that's not really what you think of a Disney film. Like, you think of vibrant colours or interesting designs. So I think that is a problem with the film. I wonder if that's just because of the locations they could film. I don't know.
Yeah. I think for me, I've said it already, it's a good movie. I cannot see myself putting this on again.
No.
For me, this is like, you know, people sometimes say, oh, do you like worry when like you watch something that's bad because you're not going to have much to talk about? And I'm like, no, because when you have something that's bad, Chicken Little, you've got a lot to talk about. Or yeah. When you've got something that's really great. I remember when we talked about The Jungle Book and you know, that conversation just flowed so naturally. And it was like one of our longer Disney episodes because there was so much to talk about for such a short movie. Mm. Whereas you also get movies which are so average that sometimes it's just there's not as much to talk about. So a big one for me in that regards was like Strange World.
Yeah.
Or Lightyear.
Yeah.
And this is just the same. Yeah. I think other than one tiny thing, I've talked about all my notes already.
Wow.
It was just kind of like what you said about like the beige thing. It was just, it was very, I don't want to say bland. It had a few exciting scenes, which we'll talk about in spoilers.
Mm.
But yeah, for me, it's just like, you know, humor wasn't its thing. There were some bits that were somewhat funny.
Yeah.
But also, like, it wasn't, and it was in places emotional, but not for the right reasons. If that makes sense, it was just more a bit more distressing, I think, in places.
Yeah.
And you're getting a lot of, there was a lot of tension in places. And apart from one particular scene, or two particular scenes, which I really, maybe not really liked, but I, compared to the rest of the film, I really liked. There wasn't anything grabbing. So if someone was to say, oh, what would you recommend about Dinosaur? Nothing's popping out to me. I can't say, oh, it's a funny movie. Oh, it's got some great action. You know, I can say, oh, it's a bit tense in places. But
yeah.
Anyway, it's an all right movie. That's my thoughts. I'm done.
No. No, I think that's fair. We talked about like Lightyear is like just very boring and bland. And it's very samey. I think this film feels very experimental. I think we've said about that period of time where they're trying all these different things. Some of it works, some of it doesn't. This feels very much like that. Because I thought there's lots of very interesting decisions made by the characters and made by the writers.
We're here at Menards Bag Sale, asking shoppers what they're putting in the bag to get 15% off.
Paint.
Batteries.
Tools.
Toilet paper.
Extension cords. Grocery items.
Hardware for my cabinets.
Snack items. Crackers and some canned goods stuff.
Shop vac supplies.
Toothpaste, cereal, coffee, dog treats. I've got a lot of stuff to grab.
The list goes on, but the sale ends January 24th. Hurry in for Menards 15% off bag sale. See store for complete details.
Save big
of the film, and where I go, oh, that's interesting, you don't really see that in many of the other stories. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, and I think I respect it because of that. And I think I probably would recommend this because I think it's quite an interesting film to see. It's an interesting snapshot of time, you know, around this time and the kind of stuff they did. Like, yeah, a lot of the effects aren't quite up to scratch, but a lot of them are pretty interesting, and I think it's quite good to see how things have progressed from that. And I think if you like dinosaurs, I guess you might like this as well. But I think some of the characters are quite interesting. And I want to kind of talk a bit more about like their motivations and everything in the spoiler section. I think that's the thing where I was like thinking, oh, you know, are they doing that because of this and all these other things? And I think as we're older, I think we think about that a lot more. When we're kids, we're thinking, oh, that's a good dinosaur. And oh, no, that's the bad dinosaur. And oh no, there's no water. Oh no, there is water. Whereas now it's like, oh, you know, is this person completely evil or is there other stuff going on? And that's what I got from this film, even though it wasn't like as amazing as some of the other stuff we've seen.
Well, you've heard it here first. I thought it was okay. Seb liked it. You know, if you haven't seen it, nothing wrong with trying something new. Give it a watch. But I think we've left it long enough. We're now going to go a little bit deeper into this movie. We're going to go straight into some spoilers. So if you've already seen the movie, or you're just a crazy person who doesn't mind having his film spoiled for you, well then stick around, because spoilers are coming now.
Oh boy, I can't wait.
Oh yeah, where do you want to begin?
I want to begin with monkeys.
Yes. Go on then, let's be more specific.
So I was watching this film thinking, okay, what do I remember? I remember the main guy. I remember being an iguanodon. I remember there being other ones. There was like the not so nice guy. I don't know if I remember there was a female. I remembered the Carnotaurs, because that's obviously the big scene. I remember a big kind of fight at the end. And then he gets to the island with all the monkeys. And I'm like, there are monkeys in this film? And then it must have unlocked all these memories. I'm like, oh yeah, and then all this weird stuff happens with these monkeys that apparently were alive at the same time as the dinosaurs, which is insane. And I thought that was quite interesting as well, because it's like, it was like Pleo's the main monkey. She's voiced by Alfrey Woodard, who has been in like Marvel stuff. And it's like her dad and like her brother or son or something, which I thought was an interesting family dynamic, because normally you just do like, you know, he's adopted by parents or by kids or whatever. So that was interesting enough. And then I just, yeah, I must have blanked the fact that there were monkeys in this film, because then they're obviously with him for the whole rest of the film. And then other bits I remembered were when they're on the, when they think there's no water, and then they start pressing into the ground to get the water. So it's like, it's weird the things you remember. I'm interested, what, if anything, did you remember from this film?
So I remembered it all the wrong way round. I didn't remember the Carnotaurs. I didn't remember the monkeys. I didn't remember the story, apparently. I remember them. This was my memory. I remember them all being stuck in a big crater, and something had happened, and they were trying to get out of that crater.
Oh.
And I've clearly done it the opposite way around, because the crater I remember was kind of like the paradise bit at the end.
Oh, that's funny.
So I thought something had happened there, and they had to escape. But no, it turns out they were trying to get through into that. So that was the end result. And then when they started doing the water bit, I remembered that, but literally other than that I remember nothing. I have no memory of the rest of this movie whatsoever, even though I watched it so much. I had the DVD and I loved it. That's all I remember.
Wow.
I know, right? So some other points I've got is, I mean, again, I'm looking back on this now and I'm like, okay, maybe it did have a point, but like, he jumps off Monkey Island. But first of all, let's talk about how he got to Monkey Island. What a roller coaster.
I know
that was, you know, I was a bit like, after a, after like the eighth interchange, I was a bit like, okay, just land where you're meant to land. I also, I was confused because, like, again, maybe I was distracted at the time. I don't know. I feel like he was on, so he got onto Monkey Island. That's what I'm going to call it.
Yeah.
Meteors came and like blew up the other island.
Yeah.
And then it did this whole wave of thing, which then obviously pushed them off, where he then swam back to the island that had been destroyed.
No, I'm
not destroyed, but at least hit.
I think you're misremembering. No, because he was on he was on the main island as an egg.
Yeah.
He was taken to Monkey Island by the pterodactyl.
Yep.
Then the meteor blew up in the ocean, which flooded and and burnt Monkey Island. So then they're in the water and they get washed up, because then the monkeys go, and then there's no response. And it's like, oh, all the other monkeys are dead. This is depressing.
Yeah. It's such a depressing movie. It's just so much death. It's literally, right, you start off a movie and then you see the Carnotaur just eat some other dinosaur who looked really sad. You then see him trample on all these eggs, which his mother tried so hard to protect. Yeah. She then loses the one egg that survives. It goes off to Monkey Island. You finally see him grow up and you think, oh, okay, it's going to be a bit happier now. The monkey then gets left on his own because he's like, no one loves him in a completely separate thing. And then it doesn't matter anyway because they all die. And they do that sad thing, which is just like the end of like Jurassic World 2, where they're like, you know, they're going back off the island and it's like destroyed by the volcano and they can't see them all and it's all like, where? Yeah. And then they finally get places. Then they're trying to be eaten by these other things. And then they meet up and meet this massive douche of a dinosaur. Yeah. He's like, you must come with us. Oh, and by the way, your only friends are the ones that are most likely going to die throughout this entire movie, either by like collapsing or exhaustion or being eaten alive. And the entire time, you're just constantly feeling like these characters you actually know are just going to die at any moment. And I was surprised when none of them did.
Wow.
But it was just death, death, death. And oh, look, we're passing another dead dinosaur. And oh, here comes the Carnotaurs. They're going to eat that one. And oh, I finally like this dinosaur. No, never mind. He's dead. And, you know, it's just ridiculous. Like, it's, again, I suppose it's good that you're kind of on your seat the entire time waiting for someone to die. I suppose in a way, if that's, but is that what you want from a Disney movie? I feel like it's not.
Oh,
but,
I
you know,
know,
it's it was interesting all the same.
Wow.
Run over.
We found Chicken Little 2.0, everyone. Yeah, I couldn't care any less about the stupid monkey courtship dance thing, and then his mate is all alone on the tree. I was thinking, you know, whatever, I don't really care about this. And then, yeah, as you said, they all die anyway, so it doesn't actually matter. I kind of liked what they were saying with the film, because it's like, you've got this big herd that has to travel through the desert, and Krone is the antagonist. Now, does that mean he's a bad guy? Not necessarily, but he's antagonizing the main characters, because he's pushing everyone, and, you know, he seems very cruel. But, you know, he's kind of got a point, because if they do slow down, they may not get to the nesting grounds in time. They may not be able to move quick enough to get water. They're going to get picked off by predators, because that's the first thing him and his monkey family meet, isn't it? Is predators. It's like, oh, they're so not used to this on Monkey Island. And if anything, they're saved by the herd. So the kind of that battle in the film is Aladar and his family are very much like, you know, we should all stick together and love each other and everything. And he meets the old birds at the back, the Brachiosaurus and the like Triceratops lady, who are just like dying. and then, yeah, you've got Krone and Bruton, which is a cool name, who are trying to push through the front. And it's kind of like, oh, you get both sides, which I thought was interesting. And, you know, the kind of build up at the end is the fact that Krone is so stubborn. And I kind of get this feeling of, you know, is he, who appointed him as the leader of this herd? You know, was it like, you know, maybe his parents, and he had to take up the mantle, and he's been doing it for so long that he feels responsible and that he knows best. And you get some interesting moments, you know, when they get to what they think is going to be the water and it's just not there. And his face is like, oh no, what on earth are we going to do? I have no idea what to do here. And it's like, oh, I wanted a bit more of that. I wanted a bit more vulnerability with him. And he very quickly turns to, oh no, we've got to keep going kind of thing, which I thought was kind of interesting. And it builds up to the end where he's just so stubborn. He's like, no, we've got to go up here. You know, we'll lose half the herd, so the half will survive. And it's like, oh, that seems quite brutal. But then it's like, well, you know, it's either half or none of them. Sounds a bit like Thanos. I don't know, 18 years early. But then it's the fact that Aladar says, actually, no, if you scatter, that's how the Predator picks you off. If you all stand together, you actually can't. And that's what they do, and it works. And it's like, ah, oh, resolution. But, and then it's quite fitting then that Krone, because he stayed on his own, he then gets picked off at the end. And I thought that was a bit sad that he couldn't see the error of his ways and go, oh, you know, you were right, you know, et cetera, et cetera. He just dies. That was really annoying, because I wanted them to have like a little scene. And I thought that's what's going to happen, and it didn't. So that was probably the most disappointing thing for me. Because like when Bruton dies, he had a bit of an arc, didn't he? Because he's like very much like Krone, where this is the way things are, why are you bothering, etc., etc. And he does change, which was quite satisfying. It's just a shame that, again, he died as well. I wish this film could progress people without instantly killing them.
You see, I would have found it much more satisfying if, because like in that ending bit where he goes to kill Kron, because all the others have stood together and just walked past.
Yeah.
Which I think is just so sassy. Like, they even turn their backs to him. That's how confident they are.
Yeah.
I would have loved it if they just left those two just to go for it. So we can really see, oh, I should have stayed with him. But they didn't, and they saved him for whatever reason. Obviously, they ended up killing the Carnotaur, which I suppose is good for future things.
Yeah.
I thought that he was going to, like, when they're trying to push him off, that he was going to, like, have that last bit, kind of like Darth Vader thing in Return of the Jedi, where he pushes him off.
Yeah.
And, like, they go with it or something like that. But obviously, that didn't happen. For me, the best scene, which, to be fair, I thought actually was really good, was when you said about, what's his name? Not Croton.
Bruton.
Bruton. but, like, he's been injured, and then they bring him into, like, the cave.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, they're being nice to him, and then he has that arc, and he's, like, saving from a Carnotaurus. But the whole bit where, like, the Carnotaurus are sniffing them out, and then he just puts his head underneath the water. That was terrifying.
That was good.
Even for me. And that was very good. And again, that whole scene where, you know, they're trying to escape and, you know, they're chasing. And then the main guy, whose name I can't really bother to remember, was like fighting them off. But then Bruton then came and he rescued them. And it looked like he was going to survive as well. But then he didn't.
Yeah.
And yeah, but that whole bit was very cool. I liked that bit.
Yeah.
Everything else for me was average. But yeah, like I said, if you haven't seen it, give it a watch. Because, you know, it's a piece in time for Disney. But that's all I have to say. Do you have anything else you'd like to add?
Only that, you know, it's weird that they discover the nesting grounds. And it's like, that's not the end of the film. I thought was an interesting choice. I do like the cut back to then the rest of the herd. And they see the giant thing. It's like, again, oh no, what do we do? This has never happened before. This is, you know, this is like absolutely devastating. I thought that was quite a cool, like, kind of piece of kind of cinema there. But boy, would I love to live in those nesting grounds.
Mm. I'd love to see a map of this place, because I'm intrigued how, like, now I'm going to map things to you, but no one can see it. So try, like, have it at, like, let's say the starting point where we start walking. Our main group is so slow. We only get like a little bit up the wave and then go into a cave,
yeah.
Walk a tiny bit more, and then they're at the nesting grounds. Whereas the other guys are walking so far ahead and so much quicker. And then we only get to the other side. So I don't know what that looks like. But anyway, I found that intriguing. Anyway, those are our thoughts on Dinosaur from the year 2000. But of course, we'd love to hear your thoughts. So Seb, how can we hear their thoughts?
Well, what you can do is you can do a big roar. Or a monkey roar. Unfortunately, you know, if all the other monkeys are dead, they won't hear you. So what you're going to do instead is email us at letstalkabout2022@hotmail.com. Or you can Instagram us at lta.podcast.
Very good, very good. So we come to our favourite bit, where we get to see what Disney movie we're going to be watching next. So we spin a wheel, and the wheel is actually getting smaller and smaller.
No.
It's sad. In a way. But the wheel is spinning. And it's going to be a Disney movie. It's going to be an older one. It's going to be Peter Pan.
Oh, I've been looking forward to this one.
Cool. Hook, Line and Sinker. Or will it be Hook, Line and Stinker? I don't know. You're going to have to find out in our next episode. Which, if all goes well, should be next week. So we look forward to talking about that.
Wow. Just one last thing, sorry. I just read something interesting.
On,
this was the most expensive movie released in the year 2000, which is bizarre. Also, this movie is the highest death toll of any animated Disney movie, apparently.
Even more than Atlantis.
Yeah, did that come out after, maybe? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What also can believe is, I think this is like the fifth highest grossing movie in the UK for that. Or was it of all time? Oh, not of all time. Of anywhere. Of 2000. I think it was the fifth highest grossing movie.
Wow.
So it beat X-Men.
That's crazy.
Which is...
What?
Yeah, which I don't get. I looked at it. There was a few like obvious ones which were above it. But there was like ones underneath, which I'm like, oh, really? But anyway,
wow.
That's a little bit of trivia for you, which I remember from when I looked up. Anyway, we understand that films like this can be quite heavy. We talked about Mulan last week. Again, big death toll there. And this one surpasses it, apparently. So if you're struggling with feelings of negativity, we want to know you're not alone. And of course, we've got Seb here, who's going to leave you now with some encouraging words to get you through to the next episode.
I've got two. I've got the kind of voiceover from Cleo. Some things start out big. And some things start out small, very small. But sometimes the smallest thing can make the biggest changes of all. And if that doesn't quite work for you, then this other quote from Nira is, that children is what's known as a jerkosaurus.
And there you go. Thank you very much, and bye.
Bye.